formula apportionment. Most states permit the use of separate accounting, but prefer the use of an apportionment formula. With the exception of Mississippi and New Mexico, states require prior written approval of the use of separate accounting from the tax administering agency. Approval generally depends on the nature and character of the business transacted by the appellant. If the in-state activities of the enterprise are separate and distinct from the out-of-state activities, separate accounting may be determined to be appropriate by the administering agency. All states imposing a corporate income tax, with the exception of Mississippi, employ an apportionment formula to allocate interstate income. The formula, generally based on the in-state, out-of-state ratios of property, payroll, and sales of a business enterprise, attempts to take into account relevant demand and supply factors contributing to the earning of income by the enterprise. Table 5.8 demonstrates the variation in the apportionment formula used by the states. Kansas is the only state neighboring Nebraska which exclusively applies the three-factor formula, with equal weights on the sales, property, and payroll factors. Colorado and Missouri allow taxpayers to choose between apportionment formulas. Minnesota repealed provisions allowing taxpayers the option to apply the three-factor formula with equal weights during the 1987 legislative session. Most Minnesota taxpayers must use a three-factor formula based on 70% sales, 15% property, and 15% payroll. Iowa employs a sales-only apportionment formula. Neither South Dakota nor Wyoming impose a corporate income tax. Prior to the 1988 tax year, Nebraska had applied the three-factor formula equally weighting the sales, payroll, and property factors. Legislation enacted during the 1987 legislative session requires the phase-out of the property and payroll factors over a five-year period. For the 1992 tax year and thereafter, Nebraska's corporate taxpayers will be required to use a sales-only formula for apportioning multi-state income. The implications of changing the apportionment formula, revenue, and otherwise, will be discussed in Section 5, where the 1987 changes to the Nebraska corporate income tax are reviewed in greater detail. Uniform Division of Income for Tax Purposes Act. Uniformity among the apportionment formulae employed by the states is an often cited goal for the promotion of administrative ease on the part of the taxpayer and the elimination of double taxation. Double taxation occurs whenever a corporation is taxed on more than 100% of its income. For example, consider Corporation X operating in states A and B, where the firm produces its product in state B and receives equal sales receipts for the product in both states. When state A uses the sales-only formula and state B uses the three-factor formula with equal weights, the total proportion of the firm's income that is taxed is state A ratio plus state B ratio equals 0.5 plus 0.833 equals 1.333. One-third of Corporation X's income is effectively taxed twice, once by state A and then again by state B. Alternatively, when state A uses a three-factor formula with equal weights and state B uses a sales-only formula, the proportion of the firm's income that is taxed is state A ratio plus state B ratio equals 0.167 plus 0.5 equals 0.667. In this case, the result is under taxation. One-third of the firm's income is not subject to the tax due to the use of different apportionment formulae by the two states, and the distribution of the firm's property, payroll, and sales. State A is able to shift the burden of the tax to firms operating primarily outside of their borders by imposing a sales-only formula if State B imposes the three-factor formula. Absent federal action, many states have moved towards uniformity on their own initiative by enacting entirely or in part the provisions of the Uniform Division of Income for Tax Purposes Act, UDITPA. The UDITPA, originally drafted in 1957 by the National Conference of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws, provides a common framework for the allocation and apportionment of interstate corporate income. The Act serves to reduce the diversity among the multitude of state corporate income taxes. The Act distinguishes between business and non-business income. the three-factor formula is applied to business income, while non-business income is allocated according to the type of income and the type of property giving rise to such income. The Act defines business income as income arising from transactions and activity in the regular course of the taxpayer's trade or business, and includes income from tangible and intangible property if the acquisition, management, and disposition of the property constitute integral parts of the taxpayer's regular trade or business operations. Non-business income is defined as all other income and includes 1. Rents and royalties from real and tangible personal property, 2. Capital gains and losses from sales of real and personal property, 3. Interest and dividends, and 4. Patent and copyright royalties. As indicated by Table 5-9, a total of 25 states have adopted the UDITPA. Among Nebraska's neighboring states, only Kansas has adopted the UDITPA in its entirety. Colorado and Missouri have enacted major provisions of the Act. Minnesota repealed reference to the Act during the Minnesota 1987 legislative session. Nebraska repealed the Act in 1984, though Nebraska still conforms to some extent. In 1966, the Multistate Tax Commission, MTC, was established by the Multistate Tax Compact. The compact is a document to which states may subscribe in the interest of uniform taxation of multi-state corporate income. The compact adopts the UDITPA as an optional method of apportionment in member states. Currently, 15 states that impose a corporate income tax have adopted the multi-state tax compact. Nebraska withdrew from the MTC in 1985, but rejoined in June 1987. The adoption and revision of regulations interpreting the UDITPA has become a major role of the MTC. In addition, the MTC conducts multi-state audits of major corporations, provides states with technical assistance, and litigates in state and federal courts. Design of apportionment factors. Among those states using an apportionment method, there exists considerable diversity of the factors included, and the specific design of individual factors. Several states place greater emphasis on the sales factor. 4 states employ a sales-only formula, while 9 states double weight the sales factor and use it in conjunction with the property and payroll factors. 3 states apply a formula based on 2 factors. Although most states permit the use of separate accounting within limited circumstances, only 2 states, Mississippi and New Mexico, indicate a preference for the use of separate accounting over formula apportionment. The states use a variety of definitions for the apportionment factors. Each factor is designed to more or less capture the contribution of the relevant inputs in the operation of a business enterprise. States treat the various components of the formula differently in many instances. Sales factor, tangible property. The sales factor, or more appropriately the gross receipts factor, is a much broader definition than simply sales from tangible property. It includes income from services, rentals, royalties, and business operations generally. The determination of the numerator of the in-state, out-of-state sales factor ratio involves the application of 4 major tests by the states. 1. Destination test attributes the sales receipts to the state in which the goods are shipped to the customer or in which they are delivered to the customer. 2. Origin test attributes to the state of the factory, warehouse, or office from which the goods are shipped. 3. Sales office negotiation test attributes to the state of the sales office from which the sales was principally negotiated. And 4. Sales activity test attributes to the state in which the sales employees principally conducted selling activities. Table 5-10 indicates the composition of the sales factor for the states. All but 3 states use primarily the destination test to determine where a sale occurs and, consequently, whether the sale is included within the numerator of the sales factor ratio. Of the 3 states that do not apply the destination test, Vermont uses the origin test, and Connecticut and Massachusetts use the sales office negotiation test. States adopting the UDITPA apply the destination test for assigning the sales of tangible personal property. The UDITPA provides four two exceptions to the destination test rule. 1. Sales to the United States Government Unit, and 2. Sales to purchasers in states where the seller has no nexus and therefore has no tax liability. In both cases, the sales are assigned or thrown back to the state from which the goods are shipped for tax purposes. The UDITPA states that a taxpayer is taxable in another state if 1. In that state he is subject to a net income tax, a franchise tax measured by net income, a franchise tax for the privilege of doing business, or a corporate stock tax, or 2. That state has jurisdiction to subject the taxpayer to a net income tax regardless of whether, in fact, the state does or does not. According to point 2 above, if a taxpayer conducts business activity in state A, which imposes a tax on corporate income, and in state B, which imposes no tax on corporate income, but does have the jurisdiction to tax such income, then state A must apportion the taxpayer's sales between both states. Consequently, the throwback rule does not apply. The UDITPA comment states that this is desirable in order to treat the business of all states equally, and in order to avoid having this act as a factor in inducing a state to have an income tax. If a state does not wish to tax income, that is no reason for a state which does not wish to tax income to attempt to obtain more than its fair share of taxable income. An alternative throw-out method is used, on a limited basis, in at least one state, Pennsylvania. Under this method, if a corporation is not subject to tax in the destination state, the sales attributable to the destination state are excluded entirely from both the numerator and denominator of the sales factor. Under this tax scheme, there would be full accountability for all of the taxpayers' income to the states in which the corporation is taxable if this method were employed by all states across the board. As indicated by Table 510, of the 44 states using a sales factor, 30 states apply the throwback rule. Among Nebraska's neighboring states, Kansas is the only state that exclusively applies the destination test and throwback rule. Colorado taxpayers using the three-factor formula with equal weights apply the throwback rule, whereas taxpayers using the two-factor property payroll formula do not. Neither the Iowa nor Minnesota apportionment formulas provide for the throwback rule. Missouri taxpayers apply the throwback rule regardless of which apportionment formula they elect to use. Nebraska law applies the destination test to attribute sales between states. The statutory definition of the Nebraska throwback rule is identical to the corresponding UDITPA provision. Accordingly, sales emanating from Nebraska to purchasers in Wyoming, South Dakota, or other non-corporate income tax states are thrown back to Nebraska and included in the sales factor ratio only if the Nebraska corporation does not have nexus in the purchaser state. During both the 1987 and 1988 Nebraska legislative sessions, legislation was introduced, LB 585 and Pounds 1086, to eliminate the throwback rule altogether. Although both bills were defeated, proponents of this legislation argued for the elimination of the throwback rule in the interest of retaining and attracting business to Nebraska. An evaluation of such legislation is provided in Section 4 of this chapter. Sales factor, intangible property, sales other than of tangible personal property are assigned by the UDITPA according to the income-producing activity test, see Table 510. Generally, if the receipts are attributable to some income-producing activity performed by a taxpayer, the receipts are assigned to the state in which they occurred. If the income-producing activity occurs in several states, the receipts are assigned to the state within which the greatest proportion of the activity is performed. As indicated by Table 510, 34 states, including Nebraska, apply the income-producing test for intangible property. Among Nebraska's neighboring states, Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri apply the income-producing activity test. Colorado taxpayers apply this test only if they elect to use the two-factor property sales apportionment formula. Property factor. The property factor is employed by 43 states to apportion corporate income. The inclusion and valuation tilde of such property comprise the basis for the construction of the property factor. The classification of property as tangible, intangible land business, non-business income largely dictates which property is included as part of the numerator or denominator of the property factor, or both. As well, the treatment of in-transit and movable or mobile property is taken into account in the construction of the property factor. Table 5.11 depicts the major characteristics of the property factor for the states. Inclusion of property. The UDITPA includes in the property factor the taxpayer's real and tangible personal property owned or rented during the tax period. Although the UDITPA does not define real and tangible personal property, the MTC regulations specify that real and tangible personal property includes land, buildings, machinery, stock of goods, equipment, and other real and tangible personal property, but does not include coin or currency. The UDITPA specifically excludes income arising from rents and royalties, capital gains, interest and dividends, and patent and copyright royalties from the construction of the property factor. Such income is allocated under the UDITPA under the specific allocation provisions. The UDITPA excludes property used for the production of non-business income from the property factor. Following the UDITPA, the MTC regulations limit the factor to property used in the regular course of the taxpayer's trade or business. The regulations specifically exclude property producing non-business income from the factor. Since the UDITPA includes in the denominator of the property factor all of a taxpayer's property which is owned and used during the tax period, property purchased or sold at the beginning or end of the tax period, property in transit between states, presents the problem of whether to include property still in transit during the change of the tax period in the numerator of the purchaser's or the seller's property factor. The MTC regulations distinguish between two kinds of property in transit. 1. Property of the taxpayer in transit between locations of the taxpayer, and 2. Property in transit between a buyer and a seller. In both cases, the MTC regulations require that property be assigned to the property factor numerator of the destination state. In the case of movable or mobile property, e.g., property both within and without a state, during the tax year, the MTC regulations include evaluating the property factor numerator on the basis of total time within the state. Examples of movable or mobile property include construction equipment, trucks, and leased electronic equipment. Valuation of property. All of the corporate income tax states employing the property factor use the average value of property during the tax period for the construction of this factor. The average value is determined under the UDITPA by adding the value of all rented and owned property at the beginning and end of the tax period and dividing by 2. Most states allow the tax administrator to require the averaging of monthly values. This will generally be required if there is substantial fluctuation in the value of the property during the tax period. The states use several different methods to determine the value of property. Those methods used include fair market value, book cost less accrued depreciation, and undepreciated original or book cost. The UDITPA guidelines state that owned property be valued at its original cost. The drafters of the UDITPA justify their use of original cost rather than depreciated cost by noting that the UDITPA does not impose a tax nor prescribe the depreciation allowable in computing the tax, but merely provides a basis for division of taxable income. The use of original cost obviates any differences due to the varying methods of depreciation and has the advantage that the basic figure is readily ascertainable from the taxpayer's books. The MTC regulations also require that owned property be valued at original cost. However, if original cost is unascertainable, the property is included in the factor at its fair market value as of the date of acquisition by the taxpayer. Traditionally, rented property was not included in the property factor. However, with the extensive growth of sale-leasebacks and the widespread use of leasing, many states have changed their laws to include rented property used in the conduct of business. The UDITPA requires rented property to be valued at 8 times the net annual rental rate. Nebraska statute includes in the property factor the average value of the taxpayer's real and tangible personal property owned or rented. During the tax period, property is valued at its original cost, while rented property is valued at 8 times the net annual rental rate. Under the provisions of Amendment S to the Nebraska Statute, in 1984, the entire federal taxable income of a unitary business is presumed income subject to apportionment. Accordingly, property associated with what the UDITPA defines as non-business income is included in the property factor. A taxpayer may refute this presumption by showing by a preponderance of evidence that the income is not part of a unitary business, nor has such income been claimed as part of a unitary business subject to apportionment in another state. Payroll factor. The payroll factor is employed by 43 states to apportion interstate corporate income. The payroll factor is generally set equal to the ratio of in-state compensation to out-of-state compensation. The factor varies somewhat more between states than the property factor, but is less controversial. Compensation is defined by the UDITPA as wages, salaries, commissions, and any other form of remuneration paid to employees for personal services. Most states have statutorily adopted this language. This definition was derived from the Model Unemployment Compensation Act and the Federal Unemployment Tax Act. As such, compensation is generally construed in accordance with the interpretation of the Federal Unemployment Tax Act by the Internal Revenue Service as embracing all compensation for services as an employee, whether paid in cash or in kind, which is treated as gross income for federal income tax purposes. Fringe benefits are excluded from federal income under the Internal Revenue Code. Following the Model Unemployment Insurance Act, the UDITPA attributes compensation to a state if 1. The individual's services performed entirely within the state, or 2. The individual's services performed both within and without the state, but the service performed without the state is incidental to the individual's service within the state, or 3. Some of the services performed in the state and a the base of operations, or, if there is no base of operations, the place from which the service is directed or controlled is in the state, or b the base of operations, or the place from which the service is directed or controlled is not in any state in which some part of the service is performed, but the individual's residence is in this state. Adherence to this provision avoids fractionation of compensation between states. The property factor differs in this respect, where, for example, movable or mobile property and in-transit property is attributed to a state on a fractional basis depending on the time spent within and without a state. All states do not follow this provision. As indicated by Table 512, both Vermont and New York attribute compensation on a time basis, if compensation would otherwise lead to an inequitable attribution. States abiding by the test set forth by the Model Act and the UDITPA generally presume that the total wages reported by a taxpayer to a state for unemployment compensation purposes constitute compensation paid in the state. The MTC regulations explicitly include this presumption. Nebraska statute defines compensation and attributes compensation to the state in complete accordance with the UDITPA. In addition, Nebraska regulations are consistent with the MTC regulations in this regard. The MTC regulations include in the payroll factor only amounts paid directly to employees, e.g. value of board, rent, housing, lodging, etc. The states often exclude certain compensation from the payroll factor. As indicated by Table 512, the treatment of deferred earnings varies between states. Earnings that are included in a deferred arrangement under Internal Revenue Code Sections 401(k) are excluded from federal taxable income, but at least 27 states include such deferred earnings in the payroll factor. Nebraska follows the federal government in excluding 401(k) deferred earnings from the tax base. 35 states include compensation paid to executive officers or directors in the payroll factor. The evaluation of executive and director salaries from the payroll factor may be justified on the notion that high executive salaries tend to distort the payroll factor. As indicated by Table 512, Nebraska includes officers' compensation in its payroll factor. Corporate taxation changes in Nebraska transition to sales-only formula. The statutory change requiring the use of a sales-only apportionment formula is being phased in over a period of 5 years beginning in the 1988 tax year. In 1988, taxpayers are required to apportion interstate income applying the three-factor formula to 80% of apportionable income and the sales factor to the remaining 20%. Each successive year, the percentage of income to which the three-factor formula is applied will be decreased by 20%. The schedule depicted by Figure 5L indicates the relative income shares applied to the particular factors. Beginning with the 1992 tax year, taxpayers will be required to use a sales-only formula to apportion interstate income. Arguments in favor of this change were based primarily on the competitiveness issue. How can Nebraska retain and attract jobs and investment if neighboring states base their tax on the sales factor and not the payroll or property factors? Iowa's use of a sales-only formula was cited as a cause for concern. In addition, both Colorado and Minnesota recently enacted statutory changes requiring firms to use apportionment formulae that place greater emphasis on the sales factor. Interestingly, both of these states repealed provisions allowing taxpayers to elect a three-factor formula with equal weights on property, payroll, and sales, thereby eliminating the ability of taxpayers to choose the apportionment formula that minimizes corporate tax liability. Missouri allows firms to elect between a three-factor apportionment formula and a sales-only apportionment formula. Nebraska's transition to a sales-only formula will have an effect on the type of investment that is encouraged or discouraged. A firm will have a relatively stronger incentive to locate its retailing operations outside of Nebraska and to locate its property and payroll within Nebraska. Thus, a sales-only formula attracts corporations that export production out of the state. Alternatively, in the case of Missouri, where FM&S may opt between a three-factor formula with equal weights and a sales-only formula, the tax system will be conducive to both exporting operations, e.g., such firms would be expected to elect to use the sales-only formula, and retailing operations, e.g., such firms would be expected to elect to use the three-factor formula. The diminishing importance in Nebraska of the payroll and property factors in the near term and the eventual phase-out of these factors will shift the burden of the tax to those firms with primarily sales operations in Nebraska. The result is for the burden of the tax to shift away from firms using capital and labor within Nebraska and towards firms that tend primarily to sell products in Nebraska markets. Revenue effect of sales only. Estimates of distributional impacts of moving to a sales-only apportionment formula, e.g., in-state, out-of-state, by industrial sector, by number of workers employed, or Nebraska and/or federal taxable income, are unavailable through the Nebraska Department of Revenue. Also unavailable are accurate aggregate revenue impact of the above statutory change, other proposals, or any options discussed below. Although the cooperation and efforts of the Nebraska Department of Revenue should be commended, the accessibility and maintenance of the necessary data to quantify this analysis is not adequate. The Department of Revenue makes revenue estimates on the basis of a non-random sample of the largest firms. This practice probably gives us an upper bound on aggregate losses when considering the transition to the sales-only formula, because a greater portion of smaller firms than larger firms are likely to be Nebraska-only FM&S, whose corporate income is, therefore, not affected by charges in the apportionment formula. Thus, revenue estimates based on large firms will mean that revenue losses are overestimates. Figures provided by the Department of Revenue indicate that maximum revenue loss of a one-year transition to a sales-only formula, based on 1984 data, is $6.681 million. This represents 9.9% of total revenues collected by the 1984 tax. If Nebraska opted to allow an election between a three-factor apportionment formula with equal weights and a sales-only formula, the maximum revenue loss would be $9.825 million, representing 14.5% of 1984 tax collections. Evaluation. The three-factor formula existing in Nebraska during 1987 arguably best represents the production of income occurring within the state. However, since three of Nebraska's five neighboring states use an apportionment formula requiring greater weight on the sales factor, and one state allows firms to elect between a three-factors formula and a sales-only formula, Nebraska's recent move to give greater weight to the sales factor will eliminate the relative tax advantage that these four states have in attracting export corporations. However, in 1992, Nebraska will tax retailing operations more heavily than all of its neighboring states except for Iowa. Consequently, the complete phase-out of the property and payroll factors may not be desirable for these types of firms. In addition, the deviation of an apportionment formula in one state from that used in other states may create a situation where particular taxpayers or groups of taxpayers are under or overtaxed. This situation will lead to a distortionary effect on resource use. An apportionment formula that merely double or triple weights the sales factor will mean less under or over taxation and is more in line with Nebraska's neighboring states. Sales throwback rule. As noted above, proposals to repeal the throwback rule were introduced in both the 1987 and 1988 legislative sessions, see LB 585 and LB 1086. Neither proposal was approved. Under present Nebraska law, firms are required to include in the sales factor sales to points outside of the state if the firm does not have nexus in the destination state. Proponents of this measure contended that the repeal of the sales throwback rule would provide an incentive for firms engaged in out-of-state retail or sales operations to remain in or move to Nebraska. The fact that two of Nebraska's neighboring states, Iowa and Minnesota, do not apply the throwback rule lent credence to the repeal of the throwback rule to enhance competitiveness. However, 30 of the 45 states imposing a corporate income tax do apply the throwback rule to prevent income from escaping taxation altogether. The complete repeal of the throwback rule may have a distortionary effect on factor use. The repeal of the throwback rule will have differing effects across firms, as tax burdens will not change uniformly, because taxes on labor and property factors will increase, and those on markets will decrease. But maintaining the existing throwback rule and moving to a sales-only apportionment formula will mean the throwback rule will have a stronger effect on taxable income, as a 100% weight is given to sales. Treatment of foreign source income. As noted in the previous section, Nebraska's corporate income tax conforms rather closely to the federal corporate income tax. One significant, but appropriate, departure is Nebraska's 100% deduction allowed for foreign source dividends. The source-based nature of state corporate income taxes dictates this practice. Nebraska's tax treatment of 80-20 corporations is also appropriate. For 80-20 corporations, foreign income is included in the federal corporate tax base definition and consistent with domestic unitary combination in the Nebraska's corporate tax base computation. The federal government allows a tax credit against federal liability for taxes paid by 80-20 corporations to foreign governments. Nebraska allows 80-20 corporations to deduct only foreign taxes paid in excess of what their United States liability would be on that income from corporate income before apportioning it to Nebraska. It has been argued that the exclusion of foreign source income of foreign corporations from the tax base via the deduction of foreign dividends, but the inclusion of net foreign source income of 80-20 corporations incorporated within the United States is inconsistent and unfairly reduces the ability of such firms to compete with foreign firms due to the different tax treatment. Accordingly, it has been argued that Nebraska should allow 80-20 corporations to deduct their foreign income from the tax base computation. This rationale, however, is flawed. The 80-20 corporations could avoid inclusion in the Nebraska tax base computation as well as in most states, simply by incorporating abroad. Since these firms opt not to do this, it must be the case that the benefit of retaining their current U.S. status, the protection against expropriation by foreign governments, and favorable treatment of U.S. copyright and patent laws, exceeds the detrimental effect of inclusion in the Nebraska tax base computation. While it is true that most states treat 80-20 domestic corporations as foreign corporations for tax purposes, several important states, such as California, Kansas, Oregon, and others, make no such provision. The important point here is Nebraska's adoption of federal tax-based standards. As 80-20 corporations pay United States corporate income taxes, with appropriate offsets for taxes paid to foreign governments, Nebraska taxes 80-20 corporations as they would any domestically incorporated firm. Such a tax structure seems rational and consistent with the principles of good tax policy. Conclusion. The Nebraska corporate income tax does not deviate sharply from the tax burden of other states regardless of the measure of tax burden used. Using a number of measures underlying tax revenue, as a percent of personal income, progressivity, effective tax rates, and marginal tax rates, Nebraska compares favorably with its neighboring states that levy a corporate income tax. Nebraska's use of the domestic unitary combination method for defining the tax base is similar to the method used by the federal government and thereby provides simplicity to the taxpayer. One difference between the federal method and data employed by Nebraska is the 100% foreign dividend deduction. Nebraska's exclusion of foreign dividends is quite appropriate given that Nebraska's tax is essentially a source-based tax, and should accordingly attempt to exclude income arising from economic activity occurring beyond the state's borders. The treatment of 80-20 corporations as domestic corporations is consistent with that of the federal government, and is appropriate given the benefit that U.S. incorporation provides against expropriation by foreign governments. The eventual transition of Nebraska's apportionment formula to a sales-only formula will have the behavioral effect of discouraging and encouraging certain types of firms to locate and expand in Nebraska. In addition, it will have a distortionary effect in factor prices and lead to the potential inefficient use of resources. 4 of Nebraska's 5 neighboring corporate income tax states give at least some weight to the property and payroll factors. Accordingly, in the interests of remaining competitive, but minimizing potential over and under taxation, Nebraska should apply an apportionment formula that retains the payroll and property factors, but double or triple weights the sales factor. Finally, the current status of corporate income tax data by the Nebraska Department of Revenue prevents the accurate estimation of revenue impact and distributional effects of various changes to Nebraska's corporate income tax. Immediate and appropriate steps to ensure that a random sample is available from which to quantify an analysis of changes to the tax would allow policymakers to act upon accurate revenue estimates and not questionable estimates of maximum revenue loss or gain.